Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Stop dancing, you creep. Shooting guns, waving his shoulders, bobbing his head.
You gotta have the guns going to
double
this
guns.
One. Double guns.
Shimmying left and right. Barrels are moving over there.
Flirting with Disaster Pinder. The signature hit from the band Molly Hatchet.
Oh no!
Ah!
Oh no!
I think you could probably tell by their sound, somewhat influenced perhaps by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Hey Jay, how about we do Molly Hatchet? What's that? Is that a chick? No, it's not a chick.
Sounds like a chick's name.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on my soul.
Calgary Flames down in San Jose last night, getting it done. 2-0, blanking the Sharks. 32-save performance from Kari Ramo, pair of goals from Yuri Hudler. And now a couple days to recharge and get ready for the Arizona Coyotes on what could be another over 500/ winning road trip with a victory. Lots to like from this game. But for starters, there was Twitter controversy last night.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have controversy music, Jay?
It was
breaking news, something.
Well, I might have something here because it's an unsolved mystery.
Look out.
You know this number, this statistic that we've been trotting out about the Flames bouncing back and winning after a loss. I put on Twitter that the Flames have improved now to 8-0-1.
Look.
Pat Steinberg says it's 9-0-1.
Hang on now.
They got 10. It's 10 lost. How can 8 plus 1 is 9? They got 10 losses. So I'd count it up again. It's I see 8-0-1. No. You're missing one. So here's what at least I think I've come up with as a conclusion to this unsolved mystery.
Can't we just do the math? Is it that hard?
Well, do the math very quickly.
Okay.
You do it and tell me what you find.
Depends how you define what we're looking for.
Exactly.
Boom. I just saw it. It's a 3-1 loss in Washington against Washington, followed by a 2-1 shootout loss against Montreal, both at home. There's the muck right there.
So add it up. Add up what you believe to be the way you would look at it. While I go back and start my music bed over again.
Right. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 4-0-1, 5-0-1, 6-0-1, 7-0-1, 8-0-1.
That's what I saw.
Right.
Steinberg says it can't be.
What do you mean?
They're 9-0-1. I go to Darren Haynes. Haynesy, the numbers, as big a numbers guy as there is, he says, hey, it's 9-0-1.
Well, is he counting after the shootout loss? Come on.
So I go back. Here's what it is. Because I know you people are you're probably pulling over.
Pulling your hair out.
You're like, yeah.
Wiping your glasses, sweating profusely.
Here's what it is. Nine times. Does anyone get the reference? Nine times. Jay? You get the... Ferris Bueller, when the president's the principal's calling the mom, he's telling... he's been absent nine.
A lot of absences.
9 times the Flames have stopped a losing streak at one game, going 8-0-1.
Yeah, of course.
They are 9-0-1 after a loss this season.
Correct.
I wasn't counting the win after consecutive losses.
Right. Because it wasn't a regulation loss.
To me, it was kind of one. Well, no, but to me, it was. It wasn't about when. It wasn't about, you know, stopping a loser. It was about one loss, then a win. One loss, then a win. The Nashville win came after 2 losses. So I wasn't counting that. So again, to rehash.
Boy, this is confusing.
9 times.
I need that music back.
They've stopped. Stand by. 9 times they've stopped a losing streak at one, going 8-0-1. But they're 9-0-1 after a loss because they had 2 back-to-back losses. They had 2 losses back-to-back.
It's funny. They've only lost once in extra time this whole season. Wow. You need a towel over there? Very difficult.
Well, now, how can they be 14-8-2 if they've only lost once in extra time?
9 times.
9 times.
I'm sorry? It's twice?
9 times.
Once in the shootout, once in overtime.
9 times.
9 times.
9 times?
9 times.
9 times.
9.
How about Jay? Just digs it up for the middle of the movie. What a gem.
I have a feeling that's probably not the biggest aspect of last night's game that people are concerned about, even though we've...
9 times.
Again, 9 times they've stopped a losing streak. That's the more impressive one, right?
Yeah.
Like, eventually you're going to win after you've lost. But the fact that you maybe have won a game after 4 losses in a row, it's okay, so you won. To me, the more impressive is, to me, it comes down...
9 times.
That 9 times they've stopped that, they've lost a single game and then bounced back.
Look out.
And have gone 8-0-1. Yuri Hudler has 10 goals this season.
On pace for 30-plus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay Feaster. A rare July 1st signing that works.
Now, we referenced this earlier on in the show, and for those that maybe were not around in the 6 o'clock hour.
How dare you.
I felt like last night, as I sat there, like a big fat blob watching this game, like a big mouth-breathing barn painter.
Flat-footed.
A flat-footed barn painter. I really felt like
knuckle-dragging
barn painters. I kind of turned the corner on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for the shoe to drop. It hasn't, and then it doesn't, and then you think it does, but then it doesn't, because again, 9 times after a single loss, they've come back to win 8 times.
9 times.
Nothing makes me happier than driving something right into the ground. But anyway, I sat there, and they were not run around by the Sharks. This wasn't the Chicago game. They go into the United Center, and it's, you know, it's a tilt-a-whirl. You're just hanging on for dear life, and you get a win.
Tilt-a-whirl?
I give them full marks.
And yet, if you were skeptical before, wasn't last night from the same script? Like, I think they probably got outchanced by a bit. Their goaltender, you know, stood in his head at times, and a crossbar is probably
9
still ringing.
Times.
But 9 times, Pinner.
All right.
They scored the first goal of the game, second game in as many nights on the road. San Jose's a tough building no matter what they're doing.
They didn't get down 2-0, as we've seen them do a ton in the past 2 weeks, which is concerning.
And I loved some of the individual performances. Thought Gaudreau was great. Brody was the best player on the ice.
Phenomenal.
And can I, you know, I don't want to speak ill of others.
Here you go.
I don't want to do that.
But you're going to now.
But I'm gonna. Even though it's Thanksgiving in the States and you're supposed to be thankful and you're not supposed to take runs.
You take a shot at an American here.
3 stars of last night's game on the official score sheet for the National Hockey League. 3 stars brought to you by Dan Ruzanowski, who is the play-by-play voice, I believe the radio voice of the San Jose Sharks, has been for a long time. I think maybe their entire career.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Sure.
He picks the three stars last night. So again, Jiří Hudler, two goals, one of them into an empty net, but two goals. Brody with the assisted on the empty netter and made the great play on the first goal.
Not to mention,
six shot blocks.
25 minutes and six blocks.
He was all over the ice.
Yeah.
Your three stars, according to Dan Ruzanowski. Kari Ramo.
Have a problem with that one?
No.
32 saves, shutout. Absolutely.
You got a shutout win.
First star.
Why not?
Yeah.
Jiří Hudler.
Okay.
Again.
I get it.
Goal. You get both goals. All right. And your third star of the night, with 17 saves and the loss, Antti Niemi. It drives me bonkers when it's, could it be any more obvious? That's
what?
Such a homer pick. Dan Ruzanowski, look in the mirror.
Oh, that's not very nice.
When you wake up this morning, take a long, hard look.
Don't ruin his Thanksgiving.
And really, like, do you feel guilt-ridden about what you did last night? Good God Almighty!
Now, if Antti Niemi's sister's daughter picked up the phone,
God
listen.
Almighty.
Don't steal my stuff. Don't steal my. But I honestly felt like last night, shot blocks, discipline. They took two power plays for the Sharks, killed off both of them, scored the first goal of the game, won a low-scoring game. There haven't been many of those. The goalies have kind of been letting in some pucks, and you got to find a way to win the track meet, but you also need to be able to win in the 2-1 league, as Daryl Sutter always used to call it. And they did that. Empty netter, 2-0, road win. And it wasn't this wasn't your prototypical, let's go on the road, let's just keep it close to the vest. We talked about this yesterday. How are we going to play this game? Are we going to kind of change things up, maybe back off a little bit? This was not the one man in, everybody else back, stack up the blue line, try and clog the middle. They weren't doing that.
No, they don't.
It was aggressive all the way.
They do. They send guys after the puck. They chase you, and they activate their defense seemingly at any time.
Byron
it's
was
not
great.
Uncommon to see Russell, Weidman, Brody, or Giordano below the other team's hash marks at any point of the game.
Brody was everywhere. I don't know if I've ever seen him play better. And I also said, I really don't know that I saw Gaudreau play better. It seemed like it was on his stick the entire night. And I put it on Twitter. Does he ever make a pass that isn't on the guy's tape? Whether he's standing still, hitting a guy in motion, or if he's at full flight, hitting the guy coming in. Unbelievable, this kid. Paul Byron, yes. I love that shift, and I know that Kelly Rudy referenced it.
I love that shift.
Ferland physical.
Ferland's a good part. I like it. Big, shoots it a ton, heavy shot, and physical.
Really?
Not many like him in the system.
As impressed as I've been, even though, outshot, outchanced, sure. But they won the game. You're going to be outshot and outchanced on the road. But as Warner would tell you, that 4-1 loss in Carolina still sticks in his craw. Why? Well,
didn't look good.
You got to win some of those games.
Well, they didn't. That was the only game this season, that in St. Louis, where they just didn't look like they showed up.
960-960 on your mobile phone. Am I overstating it? Or did you learn something about this team last night?
Now, here's the other side of it, Boom. The people that said this stuff is unsustainable, last night was just more fodder for them. Because, again, they get a first-star performance and a shutout from their backup goalie, which you're not going to be able to count on long-term. So I don't know that last night changed anyone's mind. Well, it changed yours, but a lot of people that still feel like it's unsustainable would have last night to prove the point just as much as the people that say they are going to make the playoffs because they can beat these teams.
But how could it prove the point when they got 2 points? They won the game.
No, the point isn't they're not going to win. The point is that
if you're going to say that it's not
outchanced, you can't win.
Yeah, but they
forever.
Won the game. It can't be a piece of evidence for people saying it's not sustainable if they win the game.
The whole point of the unsustainable part is that they got outchanced and they won. You can't do that forever.
This would be the opposite. This would be for people saying this is a good team. This is a team that battles and they can win hockey games. For people that are that think it isn't sustainable, they'd be, we got to wait for another game where they get outchanced and outshot, and then they lose. That's to me.
It would be a sample size thing. That's all I'm going to say is that what you saw before from the Flames, if you thought it was unsustainable, you still think it is because they continue to win while they're getting outchanced. That would be the argument from the stats community, the nerd stats.
I just didn't think it was that tilted.
Well, I thought Ramo was very good. That's the best he's played all year.
Yeah, he was
and
great.
If he doesn't play his best game of the year and the crossbar isn't the crossbar, maybe it's...
But that's the game, right?
That's the game.
That's sport.
Yeah, it is.
Right? That's
You're
sport.
Right. And that's the margin is so slim.
7:19. A little bit later on this hour, looks like we're going to have some members of the Calgary Hitmen coming in studio. Big weekend for them. They got a lot of things going on. You could win a trip to the Grey Cup. You're raising some awareness and getting some food brought in for the Christmas, so obviously right around the corner. And they're playing some hockey. We'll get into all of that. Eric Dehatchik, Derek Wills, Pools and Props, Arash Badani in Vancouver for the Grey Cup.
You think he got into the sauce last night?
Arash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Arash.
I mean,
hammered. Coming up this morning, 9:20.
I mean, he's got a coffee cup. But that ain't coffee.
Not just coffee.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Coming up later this morning, off to Vancouver. Arash Madani is there getting set for the Grey Cup yesterday. Ken Austin and John Huffnagel doing their media thing. We are going to be all over it this weekend. Friday, Football Fridays with Kerr, as always. Then Saturday afternoon, Pat Steinberg and Josh Humphries live in Vancouver. They are on their way. With a going to go to our Rogers studios in Vancouver with some coverage. From the, what is Vancouver?
Wait, is it a city nickname?
Is it the Windy City?
Van City.
I don't like it.
Don't like it?
Then on Sunday, you and Kerr, what a duo. I'll be jealous.
Because you're Kerr Boom. Would it be Pin Kerr? Does that make sense?
Yeah, probably Pin Kerr would be good.
Pin Kerr.
Yeah. So that is what we have going this weekend.
By the way, your boy.
Why are you interrupting
coming me? On.
What are you talking about?
On Sunday, Shank South,
oh, okay.
Grey Cup pregame great. Show. Your boy will be on.
Great. I won't be listening.
You hate him.
12:20 this afternoon, kind of put a little thing in your phone. Put a little, speaking of which, I got to put my thing on so I don't get a parking ticket. Anyway, put a thing in your phone to remind you at 12:20, Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, going to be on with Pat Steinberg. And Hockey Central at noon. All right? Does that work for you? Good stuff.
My phone just buzzed.
Yeah,
so
good. There's your alarm. Before we get into more about last night's game and that, I want to, again, remind everybody that coming up on the 10th of December, we are having our exclusive tasting party at the Wild Rose Brewery. What is Wild Rose? Well, stop it. Just quit.
Don't insult us with that kind of a question.
Wild Rose Brewery. You know it. The Velvet Fog, Raspberry
Ooh.
Ale.
Mm.
Mm. Only in Alberta.
Electric Avenue, thank you very much.
That's right. That's their lager. We are, Warner and I have done we've taken our casks of the Electric Avenue, the crisp, clean, golden lager, and, you know, you mix it up a little bit. Tasting, it's going to taste a little bit different, which does not mean better, but we have... We've taken the challenge, and now we'll find out who is the better brewmaster, and I know that it'll be me, because when we went that day to do the tasting, to do the whatever you call it, put the flavors together,
it's technical
you could
terms,
barely but... stand the smell of what Warner was putting in that beer.
You actually said that you could poop in the beer and it would taste
better. Oh, I would never say that.
You did say that.
No.
Something about poop.
Basically, when you have this beer, you'll enjoy it, if you like drinking Vicks Vapor Rub.
Come on.
If you enjoy the flavor of Vicks Vapor Rub, then this is the beer for you.
You're running smack on Warner's beer.
You can take a case of this, of the Warner beer home, and if your kid has some sinus congestion, you can pour some of his beer on the kid's chest.
Ah, that's not good.
And then rub it in.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
To help with his congestion.
And he said yours, you could crack the cap of a bottle of it, in theory, and it would serve as a potpourri. And women would love it. You could use it as perfume. You could rub it on your neck.
Smell terrific. It will smell terrific. Last night, the Flames, 2-0 win over the San Jose Sharks. I think a lot of people on board, a little surprised, really, and continue to be shocked and surprised by how this team manages to jump in, play in the road, avoid losing streaks, get contributions from across the board. At some point, you think that the scoring from the defense is going to have to stop. Two more points for TJ Brody last night. He was terrific. But some other things to make note of that happened earlier in the day, and I guess we'll start in chronological order. We talked yesterday about if David Jones was going to be able to be taken off the IR for last night's game, someone was going to have to be moved to Adirondack. And, you know, we speculated about Devin Setoguchi. The easy one was going to be Corbin Knight because he doesn't have to go through waivers, just send him back down. Devin Setoguchi, if it got to the point where they decided he was going to be farmed out, he'd have to go on waivers.
Right.
Which he was. So by 10 a.m. this morning, he will either clear or be picked up by somebody else. But either way, you would think he's going to be leaving the team. Sometimes teams will put a player through waivers and just keep them hanging around for a bit. You've then got, I think it's a 30-day window.
Yeah, you've got a time period in which you can send him down later. You can send him down in a week or whatever. I think it's over.
I don't see that happening here.
No, you put him on waivers, that's a decision that, okay,
yeah,
we're better without you. And they have been. There's 5-6 guys that have come up this year and been better than him that started in the A.
And there's probably a couple still down there.
Yeah.
That deserve to be here before he does.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Corbin Knight to the American Hockey League is just a paper transaction, meaning he didn't actually get on a flight anywhere. He's still with the team.
Do you think he's in Glendale?
I think he's with the club wherever they are right now.
Well, you can't,
in Phoenix.
But you know what? You can't do that.
You can do that.
No, you can't. You got to provide, if needed, you got to provide boarding passes.
You can't do that.
You can't just say we're sending him to the farm and keep him hanging around. That would be against the rules.
Now, what would happen if, we've got a flight for Corbin tomorrow at 11 out of Phoenix. He's going to stay with the team. He'll fly out tomorrow.
Can't do that.
You can't do that?
He was sent down yesterday.
I'll tell you a little story. I used to.
You can't do that.
You can't
do that.
In the
American Hockey League, a lot of teams thought they could do that.
Well, that's not fair.
And went ahead and did that.
Well, that's cheating.
So don't be surprised if Bill Arnold is ready to go on Saturday for the Yotes, with or without boarding passes.
Oh, okay.
Because if Setoguchi clears, who do you think the first call-up is?
Probably. I don't think it'll be anybody getting healthy.
Corbin Knight.
Michael Backlund, the word for him yesterday, and again. You knew it, right? You feared, you couldn't help but fear for the worst, and it's kind of popped up. Michael Backlund has missed the majority of this season due to an abdominal injury. The little bit that he played this year, you could tell he was not right, didn't have the same strength or speed or anything. Was taken, you're week to week, you're out indefinitely. Let's see if this abdominal strain, or there's a, you know, whatever they call it, a weakness of the abdominal wall. Maybe it can rectify and heal itself, thus avoiding season-ending surgery. It has not improved, apparently.
Not enough, at least.
And I guess this is of the procedures that you can do to remedy this. It's of the minor variety, if there's such a thing. I know Brad Treliving last night was talking about how it's like a mesh kind of a plate. I'm guessing it's much the same as what you would use for stents and heart aneurysm type thing. So they've put it on the abdominal wall, hoping that maybe that will solidify and strengthen it to the point that he can get back on the ice and skate and maybe, again, avoid the big surgery. I'll be shocked if he plays again this season.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's basically December. I don't.
You have 4.5 months left in the season.
Yeah.
4.5. And it feels like if this is the kind of surgery we think it is, it's probably a 4-month recovery, at which point.
Well, yeah. And
what do you do in April if you're out of it? You certainly don't rush this guy back.
You have to give it a few weeks to see if this remedy works. And if it does, I think you still have to work to get back into the lineup. And if it doesn't, then you're done. Beyond that, that's kind of the story. No Derek Englund last night. They put Rafa Diaz in. Played all right, I thought. It's certainly a difference between those two. You notice when it's not Derek Englund and it's Rafa Diaz.
Well, one can skate.
Not to be too critical on Englund.
And there's an element he provides. There were some scrums post-whistle where you would have liked to have 29 in there, but generally, between the whistles, probably better with a guy that can skate.
Any other final thoughts on
last night?
Match from last night?
Well, we haven't talked about the Sharks' fallout, because while they had their chances, this is a team that's now lost 4 in a row. I believe all 4 on home ice. Some great teams in there. Like Florida.
4 in a row and 5 of 6.
Yeah.
They're 10-10-4. They've won 10 of 24 games. And the drumbeat seems to suggest that this now, after, you know, there were a lot of times when it seemed like maybe Todd McClellan was going to be walked off the plank. But they used patience, exercised patience. Now he's a good coach. He's a good coach. At the end of the day, good coaches get fired. Joel Quenneville was fired. Mike Babcock was fired. Like this it does happen. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that's it. I don't think it's a... If they do let him go, it's not because he can't coach, and it won't be done hastily. It sounded like he was going to go last year after that first. Remember, this is the team that was up 3-0 and then lost, and then everybody was calling for his head, but Doug Wilson said, no, this is my coach. This is my guy.
And people that know him rave about him. Everyone thinks he's a great coach. It just might be a situation not unlike where the LA Kings were at before they won the Cup for the first time, where midseason, okay, we need something that's going to change the culture and maybe just give hope to this group, change the dynamic a bit. It isn't about McClellan's coaching strategies or his X's and O's, just so much as a new voice. We saw that with Paul Maurice last year.
I totally agree.
He came in, and it was just, oh my gosh, a new guy to listen to. This is fantastic. We won't have to hear the same speech that we've heard for the last year and a half. And they went on that amazing roll, and eventually they started looking like the team that, you know, was there before Maurice. But there certainly is something to be said for changing the voice in the room and getting results.
It's kind of like here, where we keep waiting for Kirsch to be let go. You know, we keep getting the same message. It's the same thing over and over. Just can't imagine what the morale and the mood would be.
Going to Toronto. I'm like, oh, that's maybe they're going to gas him.
You know, again, good at what he does, but just has been here for too long.
Same message. Been preached a few times.
We'll come back. Members of Calgary Hitmen, big weekend coming up. We'll tell you all about it. Last night, a tough defeat to the Prince Albert Raiders. But they move on and they get set, and the Teddy Bear Toss game is coming up. Details on that, that's about a week away. We're about a week away from the old Teddy Bear Toss. As well, plenty of NFL football, 3 games today. Jason Lacanfora was on. We'll do pools and props and, of course, go to Vancouver. The Calgary Stampeders, their preparations continue for the Grey Cup this weekend against the Hamilton Ticats. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960. Sportsnet 960 mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Coming up at 12:20 this afternoon, Hockey Central at noon with Pat Steinberg. His guest will be Brad Treliving, the general manager, and some details on what the latest is. Corbin Knight sent back to Adirondack. Devin Setoguchi on waivers as we speak. He will either be claimed or will clear by 10 a.m. this morning. Michael Backlund undergoing a procedure to try and rectify an abdominal issue that he's been dealing with. So plenty to talk to Brad Treliving about, and Pat will do that for you at 12:20 today on Hockey Central at noon. What else did I want to talk? There was something else that I just really wanted to get out.
Mike Moore going to join us. That's what it was. Mike Moore, Calgary Hitmen, big weekend. The general manager of the Hitmen going to stroll in studio here any moment. What did you make yesterday? Now, yesterday morning we talked about the St. Louis Blues and how Jake Allen had to come in relief of Brian Elliott, who really had kind of solidified the spot as a number one for St. Louis.
Well, yeah, at least in holding, right? Much like Frederick Anderson in Anaheim. Sure. You got a young heir to the throne, right?
Big expectations in St. Louis. So the number one goes down, and rather than make a trade or elevate Jake Allen and say, okay, you got to carry the mail, they went and rang the phone of Martin Brodeur.
Interesting.
And he is coming in on a tryout basis.
He's going to start practicing with the team tomorrow.
Hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It's week to week with Elliott in terms of Brian Elliott, the netminder. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Is this a slam dunk? If you bring a guy into practice, does it mean necessarily you're going to sign him? I don't know. They're certainly making some fanfare about it, though.
Imagine if they have to let him go. Sorry, Marty Brodeur, greatest goalie ever. We're not that impressed.
Well, it's funny because he's kind of wanted to write his own script on how this career ends. Oh, I want to be a starter. I want to go somewhere I can be number one. Phone's not ringing.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm still willing to go back to Montreal. Crickets. They got Tokarski, they got Price, they're not interested. And now it's, anyone need a goalie? He's up there. What is he, 43 or something?
I mean, you know what, he'll be fine. They'll keep him, they'll play him, and then we'll find out what happens when Elliott comes back. Big weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. Their general manager, decked out in Stampeder red.
Looking good.
Yeah. Mike Moore. Morzy.
Morning, boys.
This is better than the phone stuff.
These are nice digs. Wow.
You like it?
Yeah. I like it. A little light.
Yeah. Come by anytime.
It's on my way.
So come by anytime. You brought tickets, so that's good. We'll give those away. Let's just Hitmen season. We're getting close to Christmas. It's an exciting time. Homestands around the holidays are fun. Teddy Bear Toss is coming up, and obviously a big weekend. Last night, Prince Albert, close game. Josh Morrissey. Pretty good player.
Yes.
Tell us about the match last night.
You know what? I thought we were a little lethargic last night. It was our fourth and sixth, but I think they'd played a fair amount of hockey as well, and we just didn't have any push. And I think they also, the way they played, they shut down the neutral zone and didn't give us a lot. And I think shots on net by the end of the game were 21-19, so
yeah.
It wasn't a barn burner. But we had our chances and just didn't push enough. And we're a young team. We're learning, and it's the consistency factor is there at times, but I think we got points in 8 of our last 10, so we're rolling pretty
good. Yeah, I was going to say, you've turned it up here in the last little bit. They're kids. It's junior. You're on the road. There's school. There's a lot of distractions, and I've asked Kissio or whoever, the closer you get to Christmas, I wonder how hard it is for these kids to focus, because it's like, I'm going home, I'm going to see my buddies and my parents and all of this. I wonder how difficult it is to keep 18, 19-year-olds focused.
We see it every year and certainly recognize it, and you're right. They want to, not so much want to get home, but it's a long haul from the middle of August when they get here right through to Christmas, and we always find when they come back, they're ready, and they can't wait to get back to the boys in the dressing room. But the first-year guys, and we've got 10 of them this year, it takes a little bit and to keep them focused. But we're, 3 weeks to the finish line, and Christmas finish line, that
That's
is.
Right,
and,
yeah.
We got a lot of home games here. We got one game on the road before Christmas, so yeah. We've got to make some hay.
Awesome. Mike Moore, general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, our guest here in studio.
Just a thought on Jake Virtanen. Last year, the phenomenal 40-plus goal season, 45. He's got 5 this year. Is it cause for concern, or is this just the course of a small portion of the season versus a full season?
I think it's a small portion. We're starting to see signs. He had a real nice goal on the weekend where he used his speed and his strength. He came off shoulder surgery. We always talk about the 18-year-olds that go through the draft and go through the World Junior Camp, and they've been going since last June. They haven't stopped. And,
yeah.
And they, you know, you talk about them needing a week off, whether he gets one or not with the World Junior Camp coming up, remains to be seen. But we're starting to see signs with him that he's turning the corner. He's a terrific player, and Sanheim's the same way. Some nights Travis looks real tired, and some nights he looks like a world beater, and that's just the fact of that long stretch that they have in the summer, and it's a tough year for them.
The trade with Greg Chase, Keegan Kanzig, these things don't just happen like that when a player wants to be traded. How How long in advance to that did you feel like something's going to happen with Chase?
Well, we had talked about Greg and talked with Greg, and Greg's a terrific player, and Greg's got a lot of skill, and but sometimes both parties need a change, and we identified that this time, and I think Greg did as well, obviously, and it took a little time to work it out, but we're real happy having Keegan in our lineup, and we're real happy with the second-round draft pick, and Victoria's real happy to have Greg Chase.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, because we know Keegan Kanzi, he's big. We know he's a Flames draft pick. Now we get to see a lot of him. What are your early impressions now that he's in your sweater?
The word that comes to mind right away is presence. He's a presence on the ice with his size and with his stature, and he's also a real good teammate. We've had him for a week, and you could just see him integrate right into the group and the group with him, and both in games and in practices. A big body that moves, when he moves the puck simple and keeps it simple and uses that body, he's very, very effective. Sanheim scored a goal last night, and we used Keegan on that front on the power play, and there's no way the goaltender saw the puck.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sandy just had to find a way to get it by both Kanzi, the goaltender.
Because the Bruins do that with Chara once in a while, right? They'll throw him out there in the power play, but they park him right at the top of the crease.
Yeah, you can't move him. And again, he's a smart player and a smart man, he's certainly effective there.
Mike Moore, Calgary Hitmen general manager. Let's get into this weekend. Lots on the go.
Swift Current Friday, Vancouver Saturday. And you had mentioned there's some stuff going on.
Yeah, Giants got a new head coach, I see.
Interim.
Troy Ward, who was the head coach of the Abbotsford Heat, landed in Vancouver to coach the Giants after Don Hay left. And I guess
25 games. That's it.
Yesterday afternoon, he was relieved of his duties in Vancouver.
Yeah, 25 games in on the road. You never like to see that happen, but yeah, it's part of our game, and only Vancouver will know what happened and why.
Less about that. Tomorrow night, Hitman Broncos, 7 o'clock, and this the big one here, it's the Grey Cup giveaway. May have heard, Stampeders in the big game on Sunday. And if you've looked around, it seems like the airlines know that.
Well, sure do.
And it's not exactly, if you're thrifty like I... you're probably not going. You can be there in person on Sunday, a trip for two to the 102nd Grey Cup in Vancouver. Prize includes tickets, flight, hotel accommodation.
Wow.
The football party also features the Friday night football party at the game. $11 ticket. You can use the promo code MGCUP and a $5, you get the $5 dog and drink combo. You're not going to beat that, Pinder.
Nope.
You're not going to beat that.
Can't beat that with a baseball bat.
Are you going to the Grey Cup? Because you're kind of a big deal around there, you know?
No Grey Cup.
Executive.
Take the Sunday and spend it with the family and watch it on TV.
There you go. So that is tomorrow night, Broncos. It's the Grey Cup giveaway. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be there.
I hear. Whoa! I hear.
Celebrity in the building.
Going. First one of the year, boom.
I'm going. First one of the year. Better late than never. Snuck it in before the new year, right? Calgary Hitman in partnership with us here at The Fan and City TV. It's the Fame for Food Christmas Initiative. Really want fans to come out on Saturday, bring the non-perishable food item to the Dome. We want to we get a bunch of, obviously, goes without saying, Christmas time, we want to get that food bank jammed.
This time
and this is how
tough.
We do it. Yeah. We're going to be there, and if you bring some food, you get a chance to be a celebrity. You get a chance to do a little TV clip. And a lot of them are going to get used on City TV, on breakfast television over the holiday season.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's that time of year where we've got to take care of those that need to be taken care of and get back to our community. And we're real excited to partner with City TV, The Fan, and the whole Rogers family to make this happen.
And this is this is fantastic too. A special $11 ticket available now using the promo code MOVEMBER at Ticketmaster.ca. $2 from each ticket sold supports the Hitman MOVEMBER campaign. I always love junior hockey Movember campaigns. Yeah. Some guys is like, jeez, you're a beast. You know, it looks like a lumberjack. And other guys, you got to really kind of get in there.
Is that paint or is that hair?
What do you got there?
Yeah, you
got
to get pretty close to some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, the Teddy Bear Toss weekend, Friday, December 5th, that weekend, Sunday the 7th. It feels like it's either I'm not ready for Christmas, which could be. There's a Christmas tree in the lobby, and we were talking, geez, look, tree already. Either we're not ready for it, or it's here awful quick.
It's coming. You look outside today, it's coming. It's coming fast. Yeah, the Teddy Bear Weekend's new with our 20th anniversary this year. We got two games. There's still tickets available. There's 500 or 600 tickets in the second level.
Yeah.
Ticket for Friday, ticket for Sunday, a bear, and a chance to win $1,000 in gas. So it's pretty neat.
That's awesome. Yeah. All of this, I'm guessing if we go hitmanpromos.com, it's going to give you all the details because you're probably out in your car, and I'm guessing you're not, you know, writing down promo codes. But
right.
Again, for Friday and Saturday, Friday night, the Grey Cup giveaway, and on Saturday, the Fame for Food promotion, and of course, the Teddy Bear weekend coming up next weekend as well. All the details at hitmanpromos.com.
You got it. Let's see the crowds come and people come support the community.
Boy, those jerseys. Hey, Pinder. Those,
love them.
Those anniversary jerseys.
Can't get enough.
Boy, those are nice.
You like those?
Yeah.
Do you think he's maybe angling?
What size
would fit Boomer the best?
I just want to say
if you had to just ballpark it, is that a double XL?
Whoever's idea that
doesn't
was.
Doesn't want any numbers on the back,
the
he said.
The fact he's coming down to Moore for his first time, we might have to try and do something.
Maybe yeah. If he gets to three, you could reward him with a jersey. Yeah. Hey, dangle that carrot in front of his nose.
Yeah, big diehard fan coming for the first game of the year. Mike, take care, man. Good to see you. There you go. There's Mike Moore, general manager of the Calgary Hitmen. 801, Derek Wills next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.